Welcome to day 189 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading 2 Kings chapter 15 and 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we are reading today from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at 2 Kings chapter 15, starting at verse 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house while Jotham, the king's son, was over the household judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son became king in his place. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in Samaria for 6 months. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck him before the people and killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This is the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, "Your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." And so it was. Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned 1 month in Samaria. Then Menachem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria, and struck Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and killed him, and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menachem struck Tifsah and all who were in it, and its borders from Tirzah, because they did not open to him. Therefore he struck it and ripped up all its women who were with child. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menachem, son of Gadi, became king over Israel. And he reigned 10 years in Samaria. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land. And Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver so that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his rule. Then Menachem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver to pay the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria returned and did not remain there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menachem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Menachem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son became king in his place. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, son of Menachem, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, his officer, conspired against him and struck him in Samaria, in the castle of the king's house with Argob and Ariel, and with him were 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and captured Ijon and Abel-Beth-Makkah and Genoa and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck him and put him to death and became king in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Ahaz, his son, became king in his place. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now when he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities in the areas of Ashdod and among the Philistines, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal and the Meunites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress, and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness, and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jehiel the scribe and Maaseiah the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. the total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we heard about King Uzziah, the king who, like his father before him, Amaziah, started out well but didn't end quite as well. This is the king who became a leper. And this is quite a fascinating story and at the same time a sad one, yet it continues a theme which we heard just a few days ago, and that is about the danger of pride in the human heart and how absolutely destructive it is. Uzziah became king when he was only 16 years of age, yet the Bible records that he was a good king, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, which we know he started out well and didn't end so well. But he made a good beginning, and during the course of his leadership, he actually made some amazing advances for Israel. He was very talented, he was a very industrious person, and he is recorded as having done a lot of building and restoration. He restored a particular city called Eloth, which was on the Red Sea and was a port that was very important for trade. And so by restoring it, he was able to resume trade. And of course, trade always secures some wealth for a nation. And so that was one of the good things that Uzziah did for Judah. We also heard that King Uzziah built up a very elite army. He raised up this strong band And he divided them into companies, and he made them serve by a certain rotation so that he had a very well-equipped and well-trained army ready to defend the nation. I think one of the fascinating things that we heard in today's recounting of Uzziah's reign was the fact that they were fully outfitted with the latest of weaponry. And in fact, you may remember that it's mentioned that they built weapons for war that could sling both arrows and stones. And essentially, these were catapults that were able to be used when a nation was trying to do siege warfare against another city. And scholars tell us that this place in scripture is the first mention in recorded history of the use of this type of a device for military warfare, the use of the catapult. So we can see that King Uzziah was a very industrious and clever and hardworking king. But probably the most important thing that stated about him was the fact that he took the counsel of a man named Zechariah early on in his reign. And Zechariah was a prophet. The scripture says that he had understanding in the visions of God. And obviously, Uzziah received a lot of supernatural guidance through the prophet Zechariah that helped him to achieve success and prosperity during his reign. And so Judah prospered and in fact actually exceeded Israel at that time, though they were smaller, because of his pursuit of the Lord and doing what God would have him to do as he was instructed by the prophet Zechariah. And this was a different prophet, Zechariah, than the previous one that had been slain by King Joash for rebuking him for not following the Lord. And it is believed that this Zechariah was most likely his grandson. So as his reign progressed, it appeared as if everywhere Uzziah turned and whatever he put his hand to, God blessed him. He dug a lot of cisterns so that there was water in the different parts of the kingdom so that they could have a supply necessary for agriculture. And it says that Uzziah loved the earth. He loved animal husbandry. He loved raising crops and raising animals. And so there was a real prosperity that took place because of his attention to these things. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it says that Uzziah's name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. So he became famous even to the borders of Egypt, the scripture says, as a very strong and a wise king. But those words, he was marvelously helped until he was strong, are in essence words of foreboding, because the very next verse, verse 16, says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. This is a key statement about King Uzziah's entire reign. When he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. God had marvelously helped him with everything until he became strong. And then suddenly, as we've heard in story after story throughout the Bible to this point, that once a person starts thinking they are the author and the initiator of their own destiny and success, that's the beginning of the end. God marvelously helped King Uzziah prosper, become strong militarily, regain some of the ground they had lost in previous wars, rebuild cities. And once he was strong and famous, his heart became full of pride. And it was here that we see his downfall. We talked about this sin of pride just a few days ago and how absolutely dangerous it is. And we see it rear its ugly head again during the reign of King Uzziah. In the beginning, he was a good king. In the beginning, he followed the counsel of the prophet Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And the scripture says, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. That's a word for us. As long as we seek the Lord and we rely upon the Lord, and any success we have, we give the glory to the Lord will continue to cause us to prosper and have success and have his help, just like it was said about King Uzziah. And yet, he quickly forgot who brought him to that pinnacle of success. Quickly, his heart became so proud when he was strong, when he was a strong leader, when the nations around were honoring him, when his military could fight any battle and win. Then his heart became proud and he acted corruptly and he became unfaithful to the Lord. And the scripture tells us exactly what he did that just manifested what was in his heart. It says he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, why is this a problem? At that point in history, God had arranged it or so ordained it that only the priests, the descendants of Aaron, were allowed to go into that holy place and offer incense offerings to the Lord. So when he dared to go into the temple and burn incense on the altar of incense, Azariah the priest followed him in with 80 priests who were all valiant men and were brave enough to confront the king and not try to be politically correct and not tell him he's doing the wrong thing. It says they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord." Now the next verse tells us what his heart condition really was. Had he repented on the spot and said, "You're right, I shouldn't be doing this, God forgive me," the story would have ended a different way. But pride will always make a person angry when they're confronted with their wrongdoing. And the next verse shows us that's exactly what happened with King Uzziah. It says in verse 19, "But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged." His pride made him angry when he was confronted with his wrongdoing. And while he was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in front of the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. So suddenly, the condition of his heart, which in God's eyes was very unclean, was manifested on his physical body in an illness called leprosy, which is considered an unclean condition. In fact, lepers in the time of the Bible had to warn people that they were getting near to a leper by saying, "unclean, unclean." They had to cry out "unclean" to warn people so that they would stay back and stay away and not be contaminated by the leprosy which that person had. So in God's eyes, pride is an uncleanness of heart. It's so repulsive to the Lord. It's as if you're saying, "I'm the master of my own destiny in my life," instead of, "God, you're the master of my life and my destiny, and I humble myself before you, and I realize any good thing that anybody else attributes to me, I know is not my own doing, but was your doing, and I will give you the glory." But the opposite was the case with King Uzziah. Instead of saying, "God, you have done all these great things for the nation of Judah. You have restored our fortunes. You have prospered us. You have built up our military. You have given us victory in battle. You have done all these things and we honor you. But instead, King Uzziah was all proud of himself. And so much so that he started disregarding what God's word said and charges into the temple and is going to offer the incense as if he's the priest and the king all as well. But he was not. He was the king, and he intruded into the priest's office, which was not his place. And the result was that the uncleanness of his heart before the Lord, this sin of pride, ended up being physically manifested on his physical body when he broke out with leprosy. And that was a judgment upon his pride, his sin of pride, and it was going to keep him out of the temple the rest of his life, because no one who is unclean is allowed to enter the temple. He couldn't even stay in his own house. He had to live in a house by himself, separated, and his son had to take over the day-to-day duties of leading the kingdom. C.S. Lewis, the great author of the book called Mere Christianity, as well as other books that he wrote in his lifetime, he said this about pride. There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people, except Christians, ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. I've heard people admit that they're bad-tempered, or that they can't keep their heads about girls or drink, or even that they are cowards. I do not think I have ever heard anyone who is not a Christian accuse himself of this vice, pride. And at the same time, I have very seldom met anyone who was not a Christian who showed the slightest mercy to it in others. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we have it in ourselves, the more we dislike it in others. That's a very good observation about this issue called pride. I like what the author R. Newton wrote about pride in very simple terms. He said this, "Let me give you the history of pride in three small chapters. The beginning of pride was in heaven." That was with Lucifer. "The continuance of pride is on earth. The end of pride is in hell. This history shows how inconvenient it is." Indeed, pride is very inconvenient. It will rob you. It will steal your destiny in the Lord, as it did with King Uzziah. And it will keep you far from the Lord. It will develop a great gap or gulf between you and God. We need to continuously be aware of our own hearts in this matter and say, "God, forgive me if I start thinking more highly of myself than I ought, or as if anything that's been accomplished in my life has been done in my own effort and my own strength. Forgive me for that, Lord. I give you all the glory." We don't want to be like King Uzziah, who started being unfaithful to the Lord because when he became strong, when he became prosperous, when he became wealthy, his heart became proud and he acted corruptly, as the scripture tells us. So we have to guard our own selves. God wants to bless his people. I believe God wants to prosper his people. But there's a great danger there if we're not aware of the fact that Satan will use anything he can to try to introduce the sin of pride to a person's life. And if it's wealth, or if it's prosperity of another type, or if it's success in business or success in ministry, Satan is so ready to suggest that it was your own doing that got you there. The author, Alex Haley, he wrote the amazing book called Roots, and he said that he kept a picture of a turtle that was up on a fence post in his office. And the reason that he did that was to remind himself that he didn't get where he was without some help. He said, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there without help. And so it is with our lives. Wherever you are in life, whatever successes you've had, if you've been successful in rearing godly children, don't be proud of that. Say thank God for these children that you've helped me to know how to raise so that they will have godly lives, live godly lives. Don't take the credit even for that. It's God alone that helps us to do anything right. We didn't get where we are without help. And with the Lord, He is our helper. So keep that in mind this week as you go through your day. And remember, it's God who brings us out, gives us success, prospers us, and blesses us. And we need to always be aware of that and give Him the glory. God bless you and give you a victorious week.